Happy Mother's Day, by the way. This is a wonderful day, and it's an honor. I can tell you right now, I'm going to be focusing and speaking directly to moms this morning, and almost everything I'll say is very applicable to dads and moms-to-be and moms of adult children and moms of babies and infants and older children and teenagers. But anybody that has a mom or has had a mom, I think what I'm going to be saying will really apply to you. So that covers us. And I understand sometimes Mother's Day, I had a really good friend who for her, Mother's Day was one of the most painful days of the year for her. Because her children spent most of their life with their father, and she wasn't a part of their lives. And so it just brought up really painful memories. And maybe this morning, I don't know you all, but maybe for some of you, it's a painful, hard day. And my prayer is that God will just meet you wherever you're at this morning, with the power of His Spirit and just comforting and encouraging each of us in a real customized way. The Holy Spirit is so good at that. So I'm honored to be able to encourage you and honor you this morning. I have so many papers up here with me. If my calculations are correct, this may take an hour or two. So we'll just throw pages away as I need to. By the way, the scripture written in the bulletin, Ephesians 1, 3 through 10, that's exactly the one I gave Dan to put in the bulletin. And you know what? After I gave it to him, it just wasn't suiting what I felt the Lord wanted me to talk to moms today about. And so we're not going to talk about that scripture. It's a beautiful passage and an important passage. But I think instead I'll read Matthew 28 because of the way it applies, especially to motherhood. This is at the end of Matthew. It's the Great Commission. And it says the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Strange passage for moms? I don't think so. I think one of the most powerful ministries moms are called to is to disciple and teach their children everything God's commanded us. And it's interesting when Jesus said, "And surely I'm with you always." You moms understand, as you try to mentor and disciple your children, kind of life-on-life discipleship, and you know how tough it is, and you know how discouraging it can be. And Jesus is saying to you, "Hey, I'm with you. I'm with you to the end of the age." And sometimes in the middle of the night, when the little one's crying and sick, and you're having, oh, what could I say? Dark thoughts, just like, I'm going to go crazy. I cannot do this anymore. Jesus said, "I'm with you. I'm with you." This is a needed, important, powerful work. For you working moms, meaning that you work in the marketplace, I think this applies to dads, obviously, but I'm just focused on moms and just change my words for you. I don't want to have to keep including everybody. But no matter what your work is outside the home, I dare say it falls in the shadows compared to the huge work of parenting. Your work of parenting impacts, you're part of building the essential foundational building block of all societies and culture and the kingdom of God. That's what's going on with the family. It's a huge work, and you don't get paid for it. You know, that's one reason it's hard. Vicki has wanted to receive pay a lot for her part in raising our children, and I wanted to pay her. But so here we are talking about moms, and you're investing life on life into your children and the significance of that. I got to tell you about my mom. I just started. She passed away just about 10, almost exactly 10 years ago. Not exactly, but you know, all the grunge work that moms have to do, you know, cleaning up vomit, one mom yesterday was telling me her little two-year-old was demanding to have a cookie, and he insisted on having his way, and he cried himself into exhaustion, and the next morning he woke up and the first words on his mouth was, "Where's my cookie?" And she you know, what a battle. It's just really, really tough. Without listing all of that stuff that my mom did for me, I was just kind of a problem child, and my one brother and two sisters were pretty compliant, and I just was a pain in the neck and just got angry at my parents and told them how I hated them, and then after I got out of college, I was nicer to... That was a little joke, but when I was little, I just said awful things to them. But here's what I remember about my mom, and this is in high school. I'd come home, it'd be dark. I lived in Kansas, come home from basketball practice, tired. And my mom would often have hot chocolate with a cinnamon stick in it and some marshmallows floating around and some cinnamon toast. And it was just her way of just taking me in and wanting her boy to feel better and be less tired. And sometimes, even in high school, I would get headaches once in a while toward the end of the day because of stressing out over, you know, wanting to do perfectly in school. And just I would just stress out like crazy. And sometimes my mom, who was about 5'7", was that right, you think, about 5'7"? Maybe a little shorter. She would get in the rocking chair and hold me. And I'm 6'4 in high school, and I'm just draped over her. You know, I can't even put all my weight on her. And she's rocking me. And just the security... of just being rocked by her. That happened a lot when I was little, but even in high school a few times. She's a mom that I would, on cold winter nights, I'd scrunch up in bed like in the fetal position on my side, and she would remind me, "Ricky, you've got to stretch out or else you won't grow up to be big and strong." And, you know, she's just always there for me. A tough day at school, her solution almost always, besides the cinnamon toast and the hot chocolate, would be maybe you should take a hot bath and just relax and it'll make you feel better. Pretty good advice, just to kind of chill out. It reminded me some of those of you that were here when I was the older son and getting in the hot tub of God's love and just letting it penetrate. Well, I think that illustration even came out of the years of being uptight and having a nice hot bath and just chilling out. You know, a shower, you've got to stand. You can't really relax because you've got to stand up. Well, that's a little snapshot of my mom as I got out of college and received Christ as my Savior. My parents weren't believers. Mom and I would have these great heated discussions about the Bible and about evolution and about abortion, about politics, just really heated. They were wonderful, wonderful times of communicating and sharing each other's thoughts about a wide variety of subjects. And then we always tried to outdo each other with our humor. We tried not to laugh at each other's jokes, and we tried to always outdo each other. And just a wonderful woman, far from perfect, but she was there for me. I didn't even have a title for this sermon when I thought I was going to be preaching on Ephesians, but I was going to be talking to moms, but I got a title. I have to tell you, Friday, I was driving home from the gym, and Christina Aguilera came on the radio, you know, and her song, maybe you've heard this, I'd never heard it before, What a Girl Wants, What a Girl Needs. Now, I don't know the overall message of the song, so if it's really awful, that's not the point. I thought, that's it. What a mom wants, what a mom needs. And I thought, thank you, Christina. She didn't even know she was helping me. That's what we're going to talk about. What a mom wants and what a mom needs. And I thought, well, who am I to talk about this? Because I've never been a mom. So I asked a half a dozen moms of young children in our church here in the city, and I just told them, you know, what would you like to hear from the pulpit? How do you feel misunderstood? What do you feel, you know, tell me about what it's like being a mom. And I brought their input. That's half of these pages. One mom said, I just need to be appreciated. Husbands, this is really good input, by the way, for you to hear. And church, people of God, this is good for you to hear as you consider how God might want you to minister to moms here whose children are still at home, and how you might reach out to moms in the community. Wanting to be appreciated, she said, I need to be reminded of the value of my contribution to the family. Just really doubting, you know, is all this stuff of any value at all? Sometimes it's hard to know that. A mom that I just talked to yesterday afternoon, she said, you know, I am just plagued with the pressure to be a perfect mom, to have a perfectly kept house, for my kids to be perfect. Just after she told me that, she's the one with the two-year-old, and he was crying, just unhappy about life, and so unhappy, he stood there and just went to the bathroom right on the spot. We were out at a park, and Dad and he went back home and ended up staying home for the rest of the little picnic. But, you know, that's what it's like being a parent. The children don't always cooperate real well. Another mom said, you know, I just suffer from loneliness a lot. I sometimes just don't feel understood or cared for, and I just get really, really lonely. Another mom said, you know, I want to learn how to find joy in all the mundane and grunge stuff that I do. It's hard. And I want to be able to enjoy kind of the work God set before me in caring for these little ones. She also said, I'm a grace junkie. I need to hear about God's grace all the time. It's like, I think that communicates real well her feeling of desperation and just like, I can't go a day without God pouring his grace out on me to be able to be a mom. I wonder if you feel that way. I wonder how it is for you. Another mom said, they all sent me emails and writing out their thoughts. She said, you know, I really need encouragement. I need the support of my church family. I need my husband to be around as much as he can be. She said, I always fail to meet the high expectations that I think the church has of me and my husband and my family. And this gal has a real heart for single moms. She was a single mom for about 5 years. And she said, you know, we single moms, we feel pretty judged by the church. And we get jealous of other mothers who have husbands to help them. And it's just really, really hard. You know, I wonder how God might use you as a fellowship of believers to reach out to single moms that live in your communities. It's really rough, really hard. Well, I think that's all. Do any of you moms here, I've got a 60-second slot for you to, anything you'd love to add of just some of the stuff about being a mom, it's just really hard. Anything like that? I know it's awkward, but I'm still going to give you a chance to share it. Okay. Well, have I touched on a few things that you relate to? Have I? Some? Okay. Here's what I want to do this morning. I'm here to remind you of the power and the beauty and the hope that the gospel of Jesus gives you as a mom and all the rest of us as well. I'm here to remind you that the power of the gospel is intended to speak into your life each and every day for the challenges you face, and particularly the challenges of motherhood. We have a good, good Savior, and he's our deliverer, and he's the one that sustains us through thick and thin, day in and day out. So the first passage we're going to look at three passages pretty briefly, but they relate to motherhood very, very well. The first one is in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, where the Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And remember, he's writing this letter to the Roman church. He's writing this letter to believers. And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew, then the Gentile. And he says in that first part of the letter, he's very eager to preach the gospel to them, to they who are believers. He wants to preach the gospel. Isn't that interesting? But it's the power of God for salvation. And that word salvation for the Apostle Paul is much bigger than just talking about I hear the gospel and I receive it and I'm converted and I'm justified by faith. It includes that, but it also includes our sanctification, our growing more and more Christ-like. It is the power of God for the sanctification of believers and eventually our glorification when we go to be with Jesus. So from beginning to end, it's the gospel of all of our salvation. We have been saved. We are in the process of being saved. And one day we will be saved in our glorification. I've got to tell you another story about my mom. 10 days before she died, I was in Peru with Vicky visiting our daughter there with Food for the Hungry. 10 days before Mom died, she went into cardiac arrest. And they tried, the doctors were working on her to resuscitate her. She'd given them instructions, use only gentle means. I didn't know it, but sometimes they actually break a person's ribs when they're hitting the chest so hard. She said, yes, try to resuscitate me if the need ever comes, but gently. I don't want to be beat up here in my last days. While they were trying, the doctors were pretty certain that it wasn't going to work. And during the time when her heart was stopped, something happened. Jesus showed up and grabbed her heart and softened it, and she became a child of God, and she was resuscitated, and for the next 3 days, she spent time writing a letter to me, kind of processing the experience and telling me what she thought happened. By the way, my sister was there when Mom was resuscitated and said she looked 10 years younger. She's happy like I've never seen her be happy before. Mom struggled with depression like crazy most of her life. And my sister knew something had happened. Well, Mom said, when she woke up, I saw Jesus, and he had his arms around me. And in the letter she wrote me, she said, I felt these arms around me, and she said, Rick, is that you? And I said, of course, it really wasn't me. I said, well, no, Mom, I'm in Peru. It's Jesus that's holding you. And she thought, oh, yeah, I remember Rick's in Peru. And I heard that, and I'm thinking, I'm getting a little freaked out here. This is a little strange. I don't know what to make of this. But in the rest of her letter, she couldn't have made it more clear that God had exposed her to her sin and her need for a Savior and had cleansed her of that and forgiven her of that and just brought her into himself in those few minutes when she was being worked on and her heart was stopped. She said, and I've got a couple quotes from her letter. I had trouble. I couldn't find last night her letter to me, but here's some stuff she said. I'm so excited. I can accept Jesus as my Savior, even though there are so many things I can't understand. I'm not lonely. Thank you for your prayers. Though not aware, I really had a great need. I'm happy. Remember that. Whatever happens, I'm happy. It's wonderful. Now, my mom just didn't talk like that. 6 months before, I'd been going through the Ten Commandments with her to show how we just can't meet up to God's standards. And, she was ticked off at me. She said, oh, that's insulting, Rick. I don't like that a bit. And I said, well, oh, good, Mom, because you're understanding. You're understanding how far short we fall. This is 6 months later, in the middle of her heart being stopped. She comes back to life, and all of a sudden, she's aware of her sinfulness and of being cleansed by Jesus. This is another weird thing. The next day, a woman from Trinidad, this is a small hospital in western Kansas, population of the town's probably 500. pretty small town. A woman from Trinidad came by the hospital to visit me. I'd never met her. And she said this to my mom: "Don't lose faith in Jesus. We're a very wicked people." Who walks in and says stuff like that? And my mom's response, you know what it was? Somehow it all made sense to me. She had more in her letter, but in the just in light of time constraints, I can't share everything with you. But that letter made it crystal clear. This woman's heart was transformed like that in the blink of an eye, and she belonged to Jesus. And for I all of a sudden was believing that, the gospel is really powerful. Our God is the kind of God that he changes who he wants to change. Amen? Now, why do I bring all that up? We know the gospel is powerful for changing people. Sometimes for conversion and bringing them to Christ. Maybe, moms, you're a little bit like me. You know, sometimes I feel like, okay, I have this, I believe certain things. I believe what the Bible says. I'm part of a denomination that I'm really proud of, kind of our system of doctrine. But, you know, sometimes I feel like, okay, that's all that stuff in my head. And sometimes I think, gosh, I'm just living my life like everybody else. I'm just trying to make it. And I don't run to Christ that often. And it really bothers me. It's like I almost live functionally like an atheist half the time. And what is wrong? I forget that our God and his powerful gospel is intended to transform us day in and day out. And even this morning, as we're here listening to the truth, he is in the business of bringing hope and transformation day by day. Have you forgotten that in your desperation? You know, it's hard to believe. Just looking at the women in this group, you just all look so good, and like your lives are together. And, you know, when your children were in here, those of you that have children, they were behaving so well. It seemed like it's easy to look and say, oh, my gosh, why am I even talking to these people? They have it all together. But friends, unfortunately, I know you're like me. You appear to have it much more together than what's really true, right? Yes? I think that's why God sent me here, to remind you of the power of the gospel. And if you've lost hope in your parenting and just think, what's wrong with these kids? They must have some special disease of non-obedience. What is going on here? I seem to have no impact. Why am I even doing this? I don't even get paid for it. Just keep turning to the one who's given you good news, this beautiful gospel that says, oh, my daughter, oh, my sons, I love you. I'm with you in this. And I'm going to walk you through this. I'm walking with you. And I know about suffering. We're going to make this together. Okay, one other passage. Romans 7, 24 and 25. And then the next verse in the next chapter, 8:1. That's where Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? New words. Oh, wretched mom that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? And his second cry that comes right after that is, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then right The next phrase, the next verse says, therefore now, now that I've been rescued from this body of death again and again, therefore now there's no condemnation. No condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Moms, when you're having a tough time, okay, look, you come home from work, dad and mom gets home from work, the kids have gotten home or you picked them up from daycare or preschool or school, whatever, and everybody's wiped out. Everybody's pooped. Everybody's tired. What a disaster to bring the dynamics in that. It's really tough. Everybody is worn out, and, you know, clashes happen, don't they? They sure did in our household. You know, when you get up in the night or your kid is just being awful and you just, there's a place in your heart that you just want to smash him. It's like, how can this little guy, doesn't he realize I'm bigger than he is? You know? Why isn't he even worried about that? And, oh, wretched mom that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? You know how it is to feel that way. Then the second line is really important. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't have this cloud hanging over me saying, why aren't you perfect? Our Jesus is one who says, Mom, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I don't call you to that kind of perfection. I want you to be a godly mom that looks like this. You are so desperate, you're constantly running to your Savior. You know you can't do this. You're constantly running to Him, crying out to Him. That's godliness. And that's what you want your kids to even be able to see. They need to see what is a repentant, godly, spiritual mom who's inadequate for this task of mothering. What's it look like to be godly? Oh, it means running to Jesus in your weakness again and again and again. Well, one final thing. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. This is for moms that are feeling tired and unappreciated and burdened. And let me read that for you. This is a good couple verses to commit to memory. Jesus is talking, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Moms, dads, everybody, I want you to hear these words from Jesus calling to you. Him, imagine him here making eye contact with you. So it's as if it's you and he who are standing in the room together. And he says, he calls you by name and says, come to me in your weariness. You're just loaded down with all this weight. I don't condemn you. I love you. Find rest for your souls in me. You don't have to do life alone. I'm here for you. I want to read that same passage from Eugene Peterson's The Message. It's a paraphrase that I just find really stimulating and helpful. he says of the same passage, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn from the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Isn't that great? I read that, and I just, it just makes me thirsty for wanting to know him better and that kind of freedom. I'm going to read it again. Moms, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's Jesus saying to you, I am here for you. You don't have to be frazzled all the time. Come to me. Come to me. I just wrote down three things that I thought, well, what's a godly mom look like? And I referred to this just a little bit. But one thing is this. I think it's very different than what we think. When I think of, well, what's a godly dad look like? I think it's real different than the image I have. I think it means this. One, you have a painful awareness of your desperate inadequacy. Kind of the oh wretched man that I am, oh wretched mom that I am. Just a painful awareness of your desperate inadequacy. And then a willingness to keep running to Jesus in faith. That's the thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the other half of that. And then third, believing that he welcomes you in his open arms. He's not here to condemn and judge. He's here to welcome and give life and freedom. He loved kids. Really loved kids. And he loves you. And he says, won't you strive to be the mom you can be? Not to be perfect, but to know how imperfect you are and to run with me. Run to me and let me meet you in your deepest needs. Let's pray.